Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation. And by DX Engineering. DX Engineering saves you time and money with practically everything you need to outfit your shack. For free shipping on orders over $99, visit DXEngineering.com/HamNation. And by Audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 120, October 23rd, 2013. DX Engineering's grand opening. Hey, good evening, everyone. It's AE5DW. My name is Don, and I'm sitting in tonight for Bob Heil, K9EID, who is out on the road doing other things. And we've got the general normal cast of characters here on Ham Nation. Yes, you're watching a great TV show about amateur radio. It's a great hobby. It's a great service. It's a great way to serve your better man and your fellow man and to have a lot of fun while you're doing it. We've got Gordon West over there on the left coast. Gordon, how are you tonight, my friend? Come on in.
I am fine. Hi to all Ham Nation viewers and listeners. We have a great show for you. Stay tuned. Back to you, Don.
Boy, don't we. It is jam-packed, too. And I'm in South Mississippi, and up in Central Mississippi around Jackson, we've got George Thomas, W5JDX. Hello, George. How are you up there a couple of hours north of me?
I'm doing fine, Don. Been having a pretty busy week here. By the way, I was never able to copy that de-expedition in Mozambique, but I understand you did.
Yeah, the Charlie 82 Delta X-ray, I did. And I made the trip all the way to Mozambique, Africa on 100 watts. And who do I talk to? Ray Novak, N9JA. It kind of took the fun out of it. I mean, I can talk to that guy anytime on D-Star. And I talk to Africa, and who do I get? I get Ray. No, Ray's a good guy. And actually, little known fact, you know, Ray started his amateur radio career at MFJ, and then he went on to ICOM. And you know why? You know why he went on to ICOM? It's because Yaesu, he couldn't spell Yaesu, and Kenwood had too many letters. That's why. No, we love Ray, and we love ICOM, and we love everything that he does for ham radio, and we love ham radio. And you know what we really, really like is smoke and solder. George, you've got some interesting stuff for us tonight, don't you, my friend?
Yeah, Don, you know, last week we had someone in the chat room ask, how would you measure the impedance on an audio transformer? And kind of caught Bob and I off guard, and we threw out some answers there that we thought were appropriate, but I did a little more looking around and came up with one method to sort of do it, so let's take a look at that. Last week in the Ham Nation chat room, we had an interesting question. How would you measure the impedance of an audio transformer? Well, I did a little internet searching and came up with a procedure here. Let's see how it works out. I've got a good quality audio transformer here. This is an old Triad, and it's wired right now to be 600 ohms primary and 600 ohms secondary. So let's try this procedure out. The first thing we do is connect an audio oscillator to the primary of the transformer. Then we'll connect our oscilloscope to the secondary. Now what we want to do is get a reference reading on our scope, and I have adjusted it to where I've got 6 divisions showing on the scope. Now we'll take a potentiometer and put across the secondary, and we'll adjust the value of this pot until our signal has dropped to 1/2 of what it previously was. Now we disconnect the pot and we measure its resistance using an ohmmeter, 1.2K. This should be the impedance of the secondary of that transformer, but we know this is a 600 ohm transformer, so it looks like our pot value is actually about twice what it should be. Let's do another test now. This time, the transformer has a primary of 600 ohms and a secondary of 60,000 ohms. So we should expect something quite different here. Let's connect it up. We'll adjust our oscillator to where we've got 6 divisions again. Quite a bit different than it was with that 600 ohm transformer. That's about six divisions there. Now we'll put a pot across the secondary here. But this time, since we know this is a 60,000 ohm transformer, I'm going to use a larger pot. I'll use a 1 megohm. Being careful not to touch any of the leads here, because that will affect a reading on such a high resistance. We adjust our level back to where we've got half of our original voltage. And now let's measure the resistance of this pot. This time we read 84 kΩ. This is a 60 kΩ transformer, so about 24 kΩ higher than it should be. I guess we can kind of see we're in the ballpark. We know this is nowhere near a 600 ohm secondary here, so maybe the test is useful for that. Now let's try one more transformer that's really unknown. There are no markings on this one to tell you what the impedances are, so we're going to test it out and see what kind of transformer I have. We'll set our reference level again with the oscillator to be six divisions on the scope. And now we'll put a pot across this transformer. I'm going to start out by trying this 1 kΩ pot. As before, we connect it across the secondary, right there with the scope leads. And now we'll adjust the value of this pot until we've cut our voltage in half, which would be about three divisions here. Now let's measure the resistance of this pot. And here we're reading 1.2K, 1,200 ohms. Before, when we read this 600 ohm transformer, we measured about 1.2K on it. So if I'm also measuring 1.2K on this transformer, then I'm going to assume that it's also 600 ohms. Now, I can reverse this and try it the other way to see what the primary is. And we're right at three divisions again. So that means I can measure this pot. We're going to have the same thing because I haven't adjusted it. It's going to be 1.2K. So the secondary and the primary both have the same impedance here. So that tells us that this is another 600 to 600 ohm transformer. Now, these tests didn't give exacting results, but they did give you a way to do a relative comparison to try to determine what the impedance of an audio transformer is. So there you go. There's probably some other tests out there that you can run with simple equipment. I think probably a bridge and an oscillator is still the best way. But hey, that one right there kind of worked and gave me a relative idea of what kind of transformer I was looking at, because I had no idea what that unmarked one was. But I do now. I know it's 600 to 600. Well, last week I asked a question, what is the main characteristic of a varactor diode? And I had an answer from Irv, KC4BJE, and he said the answer to your question is it changes the level of capacitance depending on the level of reverse bias applied to the diode. It's also known as a varicap diode. And that's correct, Irv. Congratulations. And you got a nice prize here. We're going to send out this week to you a set of Heil ProSet 3s, courtesy of Frank and the guys at CheapHam.com. Excellent set of headphones here. I know you're really going to enjoy these. And for next week, I've got another question here. What would be the normal impedances for a transformer that converts from a RCA jack, like on consumer electronics, over to an XLR connector, like would be on professional gear? What would be the impedance of the primary and secondary of a transformer like that? Just give me a ballpark idea, but you probably should know that one. And as a prize, we've got from MFJ here a universal belt clip designed to work with any handy talkie. Slip it on your belt and snap it over, and you don't have to worry about having a way to carry handy talkie if there's no clip on it. We appreciate that. And, you know, when you think of ICOM, you usually think of high-end amateur radios, but that's not the only case. They have a lot of good entry-level HF and 2-meter rigs as well. So let's take a look at what ICOM's got for us today.
Just got your technician license and want to get on 10 meters? Have you upgraded to general and want to expand your band experiences? Maybe you're just on a budget and want an HF radio. ICOM has the rig for you. Check out ICOM's IC718, a great utility radio. It's a practical option for casual HF operating. It's sturdy and compact with comfortable knobs and buttons, a great layout and easy-to-follow menus. It's perfect for the newly licensed ham. It's got superior basic performance and DSP is included. Want big rig features in a small package? Try the IC7200. It's a small footprint and rugged. It even has a weather-resistant front panel. It features ICOM signature IF DSP technology, selectable filter width and shape, excellent receiver performance, and it's ideal for portable or emergency situations. Look to the celebrated IC7000 for the ultimate multi-band mobile, portable, or base station rig. It's a multi-mode HF, VHF, UHF transceiver. It's compact with a colorful, crisp display and feature-rich interface. No need to buy add-on filters. Filtering is built in using DSP technology. It's compatible with many optional ICOM accessories for just about any installation. And it's got incredible third-party product support. For the latest multiband mobile, check out the IC7100 and take your hobby with you. Smart design with an easy-to-read touchscreen, a slanted control head with a built-in speaker. It's got 32-bit IF DSP control digital features. ICOM Smart Menu System gives you context and mode menu items. And it's D-Star ready with a great near repeater function. It's got a built-in SD card slot for voice and log storage. Visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information on ICOM's entry-level HF radios. And you're encouraged after each episode of Ham Nation to go to ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation and register for our weekly swag contest. But not only do you have an opportunity to possibly win some swag that way, when you enter, you're also automatically entered into our monthly radio giveaway. And this month, we've got a good one. It's a simple and tough IC7200 with IFDSP. So go to ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation after the show tonight and after every episode. That means you can enter four or five times a month if we have five episodes that month. Get your name in the hat. Someone's going to be real happy with that. And ICOM's also giving away one more radio. This will be given away in November. It's the all-band, all-mode IC7100 with touchscreen and D-Star. If you'd like to know more about that rig, then go to amateurlogic.tv/contest. Here it is right here beside me, and you see there in the picture all the prizes that are going with it. Go over there and check it out and register for that one as well. One way or another, we're going to see that you get an ICOM radio. Well, Gordo, I know Bob is on the road this week, and also Dale is on the road. But I think it's time now that we should have Gordo's short shorts. I mean shots.
Okay, thanks, George. You know, we're back from on the road, and we are on the road with ICOM High Frequency. And boy, I tell you, that radio worked every day, mobile, and it worked off of this Day Saver battery. And here's the big news. Jim Simmons and his wife, Missa, of Pacificon announced that they have been chosen next year to be one of the ARRL Centennial Conventions. So congratulations to them. And then they go on to announce that Elk Antenna, which Jim is part of, has now taken over the Day Saver batteries, as well as solar products and lighting. So for those of you interested in more information about Day Saver, go to elkantennas.com and you'll see all the exciting things that Jim and his wife Misa have for you. All right, let's take a quick look at some of the excitement we saw 2 weeks ago at Pacificon. And you had to get up bright and early to get all the goodies. And when you get up there bright and early with your flashlights and so on, there's no telling what you'll find. But that Saturday morning, there was plenty of excitement out there at the swap meet. And certainly the swap meet is an integral part of every ham fest. Best have your little LED light so you don't miss a thing. And you can see that it was pretty dark, but the swap meets always get started early. So if you're going to a ham fest and they've got an early morning swap meet, you better be thinking early. Well, part of our get-together was an instructor's get-together as well as a breakfast get-together. We had plenty of folks there for that. and they got up bright and early, even before the swap meet, and we wanted to be formally introduced, so we did our little show and tell, especially for the instructor get-together, and part of that was showing demos, and nothing beats a good light bulb demo and a diode to light a light bulb, and that's Mikey, Garlic Mike, that rolls our Ham Nation net on 40 meters, and he did a great job, and part of the demo was also the Blazing Pickle, and there he is, Dave Bell, was doing the Blazing Pickle and did a great job for his get-together at PacificCon. Thanks, Dave. Well, coming up in January is Quartz Fest. Quartz Fest 14 takes place in Arizona, and everyone is invited. There's no hookups. You just sort of park your rig, and wherever you are, that's where you are. January 18th through January 25th, and Quartz Fest says Angel, KG7ASN, and Chris, KR1SS. Quartz Fest is just for those of you with campers or tent campers or even just plain tents that want to take in seminars. Take in building apparatus there at Quartz Fest. Take in putting up your dipole antenna and having a good time in your camper van as we are there. And Quartz Fest has ARRL seminars that we see going on right here. Quartz Fest for 8 days on the hard pack stand. Plenty of ideas for putting together kits and so on. So Quartz Fest always has plenty of activity for those of you interested in playing radio out on the sand. And as you can see, it doesn't get real cold out there, except maybe in the middle of the night, nor does it get real hot in January. Quartz Fest 14, all hams invited. We'll have literally hundreds of hams. Oh, by the way, your pooches are invited as well. So if they go woof or meow, bring them along to Quartz Fest. Angel and Chris will be looking forward to seeing you there. And at Quartz Fest, you'll have plenty of opportunity to see the latest gizmos. There's Bill talking about a new solar tracker. And there's no telling what you'll see and find out at Quartz Fest. That's Ward, K7PO. He's operating the W7Q Special Event Station. He is the station manager and the one that put up this huge antenna system. That's the hex beam. So Quartz Fest is a lot of fun when you get out there and play radio on the desert floor. So we hope to see all of you. Bring your musical instruments, by the way. Russ and his wife will be looking forward to leading a musical entourage next year at Quartz Fest 14. So, evening comes to Quartz Fest, and note, everybody just doesn't go back in the trailer. We have evening seminars, and if you're into telescopes or looking at flying bodies, solar bodies, that is, going up in the ionosphere or atmosphere, we've got a talk on that. And, of course, nothing would beat Quartz Fest at night other than movies on the side of a trailer. So I hope all of you will log on to quartzfest.org and see the very latest of what's happening. And by the way, out at Quartz Fest, we test AM radios for nighttime DXing. And we're happy to say Bob and Sue Crane of C. Crane Company that produce these great radios celebrating 33 years. And Rosa says, when you get the latest C. Crane catalog, be sure and check out the front cover because it's got the cranes, and they are such great supporters of ham radio. In fact, these Bose headphones are from Crane. So check out all of the offerings that Crane has and know that at Quartz Fest, we show off these great receivers. All right, here's some bad news. After 33 years, Bob Grobe is retiring Monitoring Times. Monitoring Times has been just a terrific publication that I've always enjoyed. They're now going to go to an e-publication, a completely new format, completely separate, and Ken Wright's KS4 Zulu Radio, the current Monitoring Times editor, is now going to be the new Spectrum Monitor, the Spectrum Monitor editor. It will be a magazine, and all the same writers for Monitoring Times are going to come aboard. So if you are a subscriber to Monitoring Times, be on the lookout for www.monitoringtimes.com. www.thespectrummonitor.com and learn more about what's happening for the final issue of Monitoring Time. This will be a whole new publication, absolutely separate. And by the way, my articles in Popular Communications, as well as CQ Magazine and CQBHF World Radio, they will continue CQ going strong. Bulletin, Jason, W6AUX, says, first there was the Yaesu FT2800 with 65 watts, then the FT2900 with 75 watts. Now there's a European model that's coming into our country, the 2900E at 100 watts. Well, no one knows exactly what's going to happen when you hook up software, but Karen and Rob of RT System says they've got it covered. Whether it's the 28, the 29, or maybe the 2900E, they're going to likely have software that's going to work. So I always recommend buying the USA. Be cautious if you bring in the E model because it may not have the repeater splits that we have over here. By the way, we operate a lot of HF base stations here at the Shack, and Graham of BHI has sent over the new DSP desktop base station speaker. 8 levels of DSP, 10 watts output, 12 volts DC, headphone output. It's sold by Gap Products as well as W4RT Electronics. This is quite a base station speaker. So if you've got a small HF radio sitting at your shack and you want it to have really good sound as well as DSP, if you have an older HF radio as I do, this will do the trick, and DSP is fully adjustable from BHI, available from Gap, as well as W4RT Electronics. And a couple more items, books. Look at this, Ward Silver never stops doing his great editorial work. He's now on the second edition of Ham Radio for Dummies. Ward is a great guy, works a lot with QST Magazine, does a fine job. Master Publishing, that I work with, has a new book called Using Your Meter. So George will have everybody out there knowing exactly how to use their meter. Finally, Lewis, KI6YWX, Fresno County, MCOM, Fresno County, has nice little charts that says the Amateur's Creed. And for this weekend, for the big sideband contest, the DXers code. But this one I like. You'll appreciate this one. It says, don't mess with my gear or else. Funny cards from my hams out there bringing us new things to look at. Well, new to look at is Tim Duffy, K3LR's operation, DX Engineering. We always see DX Engineering at Dayton. They have that huge booth and a series of booths, probably 40, 50, 60, 70 feet long, all dressed to a T. And we're so excited to say they now have a brand new storefront. And here's Tim to tell us all about the new store. Tim, you're on.
Hey, Gordo. Good evening, Ham Nation, from Talmadge, Ohio. This is the headquarters of the DX Engineering Superstore that we just constructed. And tonight, it's a very special night for us because this is our grand opening. And we're going to cut the grand opening ribbon. So Paul NO8D is here with me, and let's cut the ribbon.
All right.
Hey. Ta-da. All right. So come on in. We're open for business.
Oh, this is great.
Come on in, Gordo. Come on in, Ham Nation. Let's take a look at this store. This is a beautiful store. You would think this is a jewelry store. The way all the ICOM equipment is laid out here, you can see all of our kits for our crimpers and our stripping tools. And you look around, we've got a ham station here. We can get on the HF bands and the VHF bands, more ICOM gear. You come in this store, you can see exactly what you might want to have in your shack. Here are all the ICOM handhelds, our Tigertronics, wow, some of the DX Engineering caps and mugs, Vibraplex keys. We also have a lot of our own DX brand products as well. We've got those all spread out here in the store. It's beautiful, it's bright, it's brand new, and we're very proud to be here at the new DX Engineering store. So We'd like to show you some of the special things that we have going on here at DX Engineering. And tonight, Brian, if you would bring up some of the slides, that'd be great. You know, we are a company that was founded about 10 years ago, and we've been expanding. I came on board in June. I was actually one of the best customers of DX Engineering, and I liked it so much that I decided that this might be a great place to work. And I got to tell you, it is super special to be part of this team here at DX Engineering. And we are adding new lines of business every week. We bring on additional manufacturers, and we've been shrinking the globe because we ship faster than just about anybody. We do same-day shipping, and that means if you get your order in by 10 o'clock in the evening, it ships that day, Monday through Friday. It's the fastest shipping in the business. And if your order is over $99, it ships for free. We have DX Engineering has its own line of cable. So we sell our own line of coax cable here at DX Engineering. And we sell RG8X and 400 Max and RG213. So no matter what you want, we've got it here. We also have our own crimping kit. So you can crimp your connectors on if you're out in the field, if it's field day, or you're getting ready for an emergency exercise, you can crimp your crimp on connectors with our crimping tools. It's fast and it works great. It's what I use at home at K3LR. We also have our own line of balance. We have our own line to do 450 ohms to 50 ohms. If you want an unbalanced to go from 50 ohms balanced to 50 ohms unbalanced, we've got that too. So whether you're building a dipole or a Yagi antenna, or you want to replace something that you've had up for years and you're not sure it's working well, DX Engineering has balance. And we build those right here in Talmadge, Ohio. We also have our own 43-foot multiband vertical. You can have one vertical, Gordo, that will cover all the bands. And we make that antenna here. We've got a tuner for it, and it works fabulous. We have them in use all over the world. This is one of our most popular products, is the DX Engineering 43-foot vertical. Oh, yeah. It's very rugged, very reliable. And at the bottom of that vertical is our own patented radial plate. And this can accept up to 120 radials with stainless steel hardware. It's got a very slick connection to the shield of the coax, so the SO239 mounts right on it. You can use a 4x4 to mount the radial plate on if you want. It's very adaptable. It can even be installed after your vertical is up. So if you had a hodgepodge, you can put in our radial plate. We also have clamps. We make our own clamps here. They're stainless steel, so they'll never rust. And they make your antenna projects look really, really special. So if you're looking to build your own antennas, we've got a lot of those parts right here at DX Engineering. We also stock
that's Tim. Go ahead, Tim.
It all fits. It's all deburred, and it comes in lengths of 6 feet and 3 feet. You can build your own antennas with our aluminum tubing. And just this week, it's so new, it's not even in our most recent catalog, which just came out, but we started stocking high-strength chromoly mast material. So if you want to put up stacked Yagis on top of your tower, or you want to put up multiple UHF, VHF antennas, we have the high-strength steel masts in 2-inch and 3-inch that we can ship tomorrow right out of here in Talmadge, Ohio. And, Gordo, what's impressive about this is it only costs $109 in truck freight shipping to the lower 48 states to ship either the 2-inch mast.
And a brief freeze there, but let me tell you, $109 is very low. Go ahead, Tim. You're on again.
Yeah, no, it's an incredibly good rate for truck shipping. Gordo, we just started stocking the TBX line of towers, too. And that's a lot of guys will remember the Roan BX tower. This is made by Thomas Shelby, Roan is no longer doing the BX Tower, and we picked up the line, and we're very excited about this. It ships very efficiently because it nests inside itself, and we think that we're going to ship a lot of these all over the U.S. for guys to put up tri-banders and UHF, VHF antennas on them. And we just announced this morning, Gordo, this is hot off the press, that we are the exclusive dealer with Hi-Z. Hi-Z has been manufacturing the very, very good performing receiving systems for 160 and 80 meters, 40 meters. I've got one of these systems at my station. It's an 8-circle array, very, very popular. They have these Hi-Z receiving antenna systems in over 50 countries now. So we're very excited about our partnership that we just announced today with Hi-Z antennas out of Culver, Oregon. We also are very excited about, Gordo, how about the DV dongle? You know what this
is? Oh,
yeah. Yeah. This is how you can get on D-Star real easy and fast. This is the DV dongle. We just picked up this line from Robin Cutshaw, AA4RC, who is the president of Internet Labs. And we're very excited about carrying this. We have them in stock, ready. If you place your order here in the next 30 minutes, we'll ship it tonight. That's how quick and easy it is. Gordo, we're so excited about our partnership with Ham Nation because we're now a sponsor. You're going to see a lot about DX Engineering every week. We're doing a blowout sale on the ICOM IC7700. And that they go on sale tomorrow morning. When we open up the website tomorrow morning, the IC7700 will be $500 off. This is a limited time, crazy sale. And we only have, when all the radios are gone, they're gone. So we're very excited about being an ICOM dealer, and we're excited about being on Ham Nation. So we said, let's mark down the IC7700. $500 off starting tomorrow.
Wow, what a deal. $500 off of their Star IC7700. Okay, Tim. Well, we may have lost our connection with that. It was such a good deal. There you are, Tim. Go ahead, and I'll let you do a wrap-up. Go ahead, Tim.
We're going to wrap it up, Gordo. We got our brand-new 104-page catalog just came out. I got it in my hands yesterday, and in the shipments that are going out tonight, this new catalog for the wintertime is in the boxes. It's got a picture of a K3LR antenna on the front cover, and inside it has every product that you would ever want to have in your shack.
Well, Tim, thank you so much for joining us. You froze there at the end, but we can't wait to hear more. And I know Don's got a little bit more, but Don, just before Tim and I turn it over to you, we had some gripes in the chat room that they didn't like this sound. Folks, this is 40 meters. And yeah, that's why you need a 7700 ICOM to get rid of that heterodyne. But all that terrible noise, this is 40 meters in the morning. So sorry about that, but that tone was 40 meters. Okay, who had a comment? Was that you, Tim, or was that Don?
That was me. That was a bit harsh, I got to tell you. I like the CW. I'm with the chat room. I like the CW a little bit better. Tim mentioned the DV dongle and the DVAP. I've got one of those DV dongles. That thing is great, man. If you don't have a D-Star radio, you get on D-Star with this, even from your laptop from anywhere in the world, and you're ready to rock and roll. Hey, before we get into Amateur Radio Newsline, and that's some great stuff from K3LR and DX Engineering. We'll hear more about them. And, of course, they're a must-stop when you go to Dayton coming up in May. But I want to mention something that's kind of near and dear to our heart. Last year, the 2012 Amateur Radio Newsline Young Ham of the Year Award winner is Erin King, AK4JG. She's been named one of the 50 smartest teens in the world by bestschools.com. Scroll down to the thing there, Brian, where she is. She's number 23. Now, she was selected for the honor based on her early acceptance to MIT and then the hacking of her acceptance letter tubes. She converted that into a spacecraft payload that she flew to over 90,000 feet. Once recovering it using APRS tracking, she took the video captured by the onboard GoPro camera, produced a stunning documentary of the creation of the payload and the actual flight itself. And this past summer, She spent with Google working on their Project Loon, the communications experiment that looks to use a global network of high-altitude balloons to connect people in rural and remote areas of the world who currently have no internet. She is one of the number 23 of the top 50 teens in the world, and there we are. That was 2012 with CQ Magazine and, of course, Bob Heil and Dennis from Yaesu, all corporate sponsors of the Young Ham of the Year Award. And just I'm just happy that someone that smart knows my name, but we're so proud of her. And congratulations, Aaron. We love you. We're so proud of you. Now, let's get into the news of the week from Amateur Radio Newsline. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 1,888, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, October 23rd, 2013. Radio amateurs in India were ready when Cyclone Phalen roared in with winds of 155 miles per hour at landfall. Proper planning on the part of India's emergency services kept casualties at a minimum as hams kept communications flowing. Amateur Radio Newsline's Mark Abramovich, NT3V.
India's National Institute of Amateur Radio put as many as 200 operators on alert, and many of those volunteers came through and were dispatched as needed once the cyclone hit Odisha along the country's eastern coast. And news accounts are praising government officials in the country for acting quickly to evacuate some 500,000 people living along lowland coastal areas to get them out of harm's way. Early accounts put the death toll in the teens. The storm is believed to be the strongest to hit the region since 1999, when a tropical storm washed ashore, causing 9,000 deaths and extensive damage. Power is still out in many areas in the wake of this storm. Radio operators are staying on duty at shelters and other areas in many of the coastal districts where flood and wind damage to the infrastructure was most extensive. News accounts are reporting many of the mud homes and farms in the coastal region hit by that storm were destroyed and roads remain blocked by uprooted trees. JVU2JAU was helping to coordinate storm relief activity on 40 meters, along with a team that included VU2DPI, VU3BHI, and VU2AOR.
The Philippine Amateur Radio Association has activated its Ham Emergency Radio Operators Group. This following a magnitude 7.2 earthquake that hit the province of Bohol at 8:12 a.m. local time Monday, October 14th. Jim Davis, W2JKD.
At airtime, the death toll stands near 110 and could rise. Dozens of people are reported as missing, and authorities were checking into reports of people trapped in collapsed buildings in both Cebu and Bohol. Meantime, a state of calamity was declared in both Bohol and Cebu areas. This prompted the closure of schools and other structures until officials can determine the safety of buildings and bridges. The initial jolt was followed by two aftershocks, each measuring more than 5.0 in magnitude.
Kit supplier Small Wonder Labs is closing its doors permanently. According to owner Dave Benson, K1SWL, he's going into retirement and has discontinued sales of the popular Rockmite. Benson says he'll ship out the last several dozen orders shortly, and he'll continue to support requests for missing or replacement Rockmite parts from existing customers, but only over the short term. He also hopes to keep the Small Wonder Labs website active for a year, and it will maintain documentation for his earlier products. However, QRP enthusiasts should not despair. According to the rumor mill, at least one other QRP kit supplier is interested in taking over supplying the Rockmite, and there could be an announcement at any time. For more on Dave Benson's future plans, please visit smallwonderlabs.com. And finally this week, October marks the beginning of a celebration in New Zealand of the earliest days of DX.
After World War I, and with the relocation of radio amateurs to the supposedly useless shorter wavelength bands, an amazing period of radio exploration took place. Ham radio operators all over the world soon realized that far from being useless, these wavelengths allowed communication over longer distances than previously thought. Amateurs in New Zealand were among those at the forefront of this activity, with the first ZL to Australia QSO in April 1923. This was followed by what were then world record distance QSOs between New Zealand and Argentina in May 1924, New Zealand and California in September 1924, and Connecticut on the US East Coast just weeks later. And then the ultimate early ZLDX contact of Frank Bell, Z4AA, and his QSO with Cecil Goiter, G2SZ, in London, England on October 18, 1924. To commemorate the 90th anniversary of the record-breaking activities of these early pioneers of amateur radio, ZM90DX will be on air between October of this year through October 31st of 2014 on all bands 1.8 MHz to 1.2 GHz and beyond, using all modes. Activated by the Kiwi DX Group, which is an informal group of DXs and contest enthusiasts, ZM90DX will be used by stations around New Zealand, and a special commemorative QSO card will be available, as well as an award program for contacts with this nation during this period. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Meacham at L2BHF Down Under in Nelson, New Zealand.
And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news, brought to you each and every week for 35 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW73. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Well, wasn't that some great stuff from Tim Duffy, K3LR, over at DX Engineering? As Tim said, they're a brand new sponsor to Ham Nation, and we could not be happier. DX Engineering is expanding the ever-growing ham radio universe, from towers and transceivers, as you saw, to antennas, even apparel. Everything your shack needs is in one place, and that's at DX Engineering. And if you get your order in by 10 p.m. Eastern, it'll ship the same day. Your order will get to you faster than if you'd bought it from anywhere else. Now, buying gear for your shack used to be difficult. You had to go to several different outlets for specific parts. You'd wait weeks for a critical component, and no one wants to wait weeks. Well, of course, DX Engineering now saves you time and money by having everything in one place, where they have practically everything you need to outfit your shack. More in-stock parts means faster shipping. There, you won't have to wait on production cycles, drop shipments, back orders. If it's in stock and you place your order by 10 p.m. Eastern, you will get it the same day. It'll ship out the same day. Best shipping in the industry. Less waiting on critical parts. Get you back on the air. International shipping is easy. You can use exclusive shipping tools at dxengineering.com to get accurate shipping quotes before you buy. And they'll also arrange to ship big orders like towers and antennas with no problems. Like they said, for a limited time, free standard shipping on any order over $99. Other fees like oversized, next day air, truck freight, international shipping, hazardous materials will still apply. Call them between 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday. Best tech support in the industry. Expert hams, active hams, over 150 years of combined experience. They love solving problems and helping you with your purchase. And as Tim said, starting tomorrow, DX Engineering is offering 10% on all the Hi-Z products. You'll find at dxengineering.com. That offer ends in 7 days, so now is your chance to get 10% off any Hi-Z product at dxengineering.com. Visit dxengineering.com/hamnation to learn more. And remember, you'll save 10% on Hi-Z products for a limited time at dxengineering.com. dxengineering.com/hamnation. And we thank DX Engineering and Tim Duffy for their support of Ham Nation. Now, it's time to go look at some shack videos, and Dale is off tonight, so we've got N9LVS Dan Van Evenhoven, who does the Ham Nation Wiki. He's standing by. Dan, good evening, sir. How are you?
Good evening. How are you doing today?
Excellent. Take it away.
Oh, okay. These videos were videos submitted to the hamnationvideos.info website, and we're going to start off with video number one from Eric, AC9BX, who went to the open house on September 21st at the National Weather Service office in Chicago. Go ahead and roll that video.
On September 21st of 2013, the Chicago Area National Weather Service Forecast Office in Romeoville, Illinois, held an open house. The event was well attended and included a food drive, representatives of the U.S. Geological Survey demonstrating their various activities, demonstrations of weather radios, an up-close view of the radar tower, and regional emergency services. In attendance were members of the Weather Service Cooperative Observers and the Chicago Area Snow Team. Attendees heard lectures on the function of the Weather Service, toured the operation floor and the various workstations, and were invited to ask questions. Also in attendance were amateur radio operators, including volunteers of regional Skywarn, Ares, and Racy's groups. The Illinois Radio League operated a special event station outside, making many contacts from all over North America as propagation was excellent. They used the Skywarn call sign WX9LOT, WX for Weather Radio, Region 9, and LOT, the Lewis University Airport code, adjacent to the office. The station features 2-meter, 70-centimeter, and HF antennas. Following the final tour, station operations continued indoors. The open house was a great success.
Well, thanks, Eric, for that video. And on to video number two. I have had APRS in my vehicle for many years now. And people have asked me over the years, is there a cheap way to do APRS? Well, guess what? APRS Droid is here. Turn your smartphone into an APRS device. And here's the video on that.
APRS, or Automatic Packet Reporting Service, has been around for quite a long time. Quite a few people have it in their vehicles, and a lot of people have it at their homes, where you can do weather or set up an iGate, which puts the APRS signal on the internet. Now there's APRS Droid. It's the new guy in town. Well, not exactly new. He's been around since 2010. It allows you to take a smartphone and turn it into an APRS device. Now, some people will say that this isn't ham radio.
Technicalities, technicalities.
Let's see what APRS Droid is all about. First of all, you go to the Google Play Store and you do a search on APRS Droid. That'll take you to this page. It is $4.95 for the program, but it gives you quite a bit. It has an APRS Droid hub, as well as a map, a station info area. Also, it has a way to send messages to people that you know on APRS, as well as an area to see who's online, APRS Droid preferences area, as well as your connection type. APRS Droid is a full package APRS system. APRS Droid also includes a single shot, which is a Where Am I Now button. Also, you can track, like a standard APRS system. There's also a way to get a passcode if you don't have one. Just click on the passcode link, enter in your name, call sign, grid square, email address, and any comments that you might have, and then click Submit. For more information about APRS Droid, go to APRSDroid.org. And for more information about APRS, go to APRS.org.
Yeah, that's a neat little video on how to set up a smartphone with APRS Droid. It's pretty neat. Now, I got a good buddy of mine. We connect on Google Plus quite a bit. There's a Google Plus ham radio hangout that's just about every night. And Andre, over in Germany, sent me some slides of the Rhein Electra, which was held at the Hartz Sports Villa in or Sports Hall rather in, and I'm gonna mess this up, Dürnheim, Germany. Their ham fests are very similar. If you want to go to the next slide, there, their ham fests are very similar to ours. Have all kinds of unusual devices. This is a little robot that they have. Next slide. All kinds of unique antennas. It's very similar to what we have there. And they had one unique operation there. There's a group of people that are getting together a U.S. tour to come to Dayton Hamvention in the middle of May. And should be a good time had by all. That's their website there, so that people over in that neck of the woods can sign up. And then the ham website of the week, and I'm being a little impartial here, and Foxy's Amateur Radio Club, FCARC.us, is the club website of the week. Happens to be my home club. We are having a ham fest November 5th. November 3rd, should be a good time, again, had by all. Going to do VE testing, and even George is going to be with us through Skype, which will be really kind of neat. The other thing that we got going on right now, we're very active in teaching new hams. So, and if you want to show these slides, Brian, we're teaching a general class right now, and these people should be ready to rock and roll by November 3rd when we give the actual exam. We've got people in there, young and old alike, and they're all having a good time, and we're making it fun for them. And that's it from Packer Country. 7-3s.
Oh, that's great, Don.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Hey, I want to talk to you about. It's time for another sponsor here of Ham Nation, and this episode, of course, brought to you by Audible.com. Audible.com is the leading provider of audiobooks. There are more than 150,000 downloadable titles. Let me show you something. This is what I'm reading right now. Yep, it's a classic. George Orwell's 1984. That's it on the iPad. And I also have it here on the iPhone. And that's how I listen to it in my car through Bluetooth. So it makes it just, they make it just so convenient to listen to your favorite books. I've been listening to so many cool things. The leading provider of audiobooks, more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, fiction, nonfiction, periodicals. There's even radio dramas from yesteryear. And for listeners of Ham Nation, Audible is offering a free audiobook to get you started and give you a chance to try out the service. That's how I did it. I took advantage of this offer right here. One audiobook you might consider downloading. Like I said right there, the 1984 is really, really good. Of course, it's a classic. The last one that I listened to was called 5 Days at Memorial. It was about Hurricane Katrina and Memorial Hospital, where a lot of patients died. And a very, very intriguing and interesting read. And, of course, very near and dear to my heart as I live in the New Orleans area and was here for that. So that's one that you might consider. I also listened to Steve Jobs, the biography of Steve Jobs, which was just fascinating. And, you know, that's topical, of course, with all the new Apple stuff that was announced yesterday. So if you want to download any of those audiobooks for free or another one of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/hamnation. Audiblepodcast.com/hamnation and check it out right there, and you'll get your credit and download your book and have yourself a lovely time listening to just, like I said, over 150,000 different titles. Audiblepodcast.com/hamnation, and thank you so much, Audible, for your support of Ham Nation and for giving me something to listen to worthwhile on my hour commute to and from work. Let's check out the chat room. Cheryl, how are you tonight? What's going on in the chat room? People asking you some interesting questions tonight, I'm sure, huh?
Oh.
There you are.
There
hi
you
there,
are.
Don. Yeah,
hi. How are you?
It's good. I'm doing great, and you?
I'm wonderful. Better now that you're here. What's going on in the chat room?
Wow, there's a little bit of a delay here. That's my fault because I got a double screen up. I got a lot of stuff going on in the chat room. Okay, here we go. I want to just let you know that it's been very busy in the chat room, and there's some announcements that they really wanted me to go over, and there was really a great one, I have to say, from VE4TTH Peter. He wanted me to take a look at this one site, and it was absolutely fantastic. It was the Shaftesbury High School ARISS Telebridge Project, and it's basically a science, technology, and engineering and mathematics curriculum. But what they've got going is something to do with robotics. So I really want to just give you guys the actual email address here, because it doesn't start with www. So just shsballoonproject.pbworks.com. You really wanted to share that because it's about a telebridge site, ARISS. So please check that out. It's shsballoonproject.pbworks.com. It looked like a really interesting site there. So go ahead and check that out. So what I'd like to do is move on to a question from my wingman. He's always been helping me with the after-show QSO many, many times, being a relay and acting as a relay. His name is Jeff. That would be N3VE, and he has a question here. So we want to know, and I want to know with him, is what mobile HF amplifiers the hosts use. So how about you, Don? Do you use an HF amplifier, a mobile one, by chance?
Uh-uh. I don't even own an HF amplifier. I've wanted to get one for some time. I know MFJ makes some nice solid state ones that would be perfectly usable in a mobile environment. Gordon, you'd probably be better off handling that one. HF mobile amps?
Oh, yeah. The Ameritron solid-state mobile amp puts out a good 600 watts with about 90 watts drive, and it's clean, and that's what we have in the communications van, the Ameritron from MFJ. Back to you, Cheryl.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Gordo. Thank you. Another one for you, Gordo. We've got a couple people. We have W3UC, Jamie, and also JKE6SLS. They both want to know the same thing. I'm not sure if Mr. DX Engineering would be on, so I'm going to go through you on this. They say, where or how do we order the DX Engineering catalog? They're real interested. Or do we have to order the DX Engineering catalog? They're really interested in getting that. Would you know how to get in touch with their catalog?
Well, Tim was telling me that if you just log on to DX Engineering's website, there'll be a spot that you can go ahead and bring in that catalog. So go to their website, follow the instructions, and they'll get you a catalog. And you'll really be amazed when you see all of the great products that they brought together at DX Engineering. So go to the website and follow the instructions.
Excellent. Thank you. I want to comment on one of the products that I've actually got in use here at the Shack from DX Engineering. It's the 4-to-1 Balun, and it's in my system with the mystery antenna that I talked to all of you guys on the After Show QSO. Excellent quality. I can't highly recommend it enough. So check it out. I think you'll be very happy. And by the way, that store was very futuristic looking, wasn't it? A very nice job. So let's see what else we have here for you all. I had KB9FQJ, Steve, and is George on with us right now? Are you there, W5JDX? Hi, good evening. I'm gonna ask you this question, but for the most part, he said it was rhetorical at first, but he said, you know, he's having difficulty. He says, it's practically impossible to check into the after show net on 75 meters with 100 watts, and I'm only 40 miles from your QTH. And he can't really get it. And I just think it's many times our noise floor is super high, like 15 over or things like that. Is there another reason why he wouldn't be able to get me ground wave, George? Over to you.
Well, that might be a little close for ground wave. Normally, you know, when you're that close in on 80 meters, you'll be working, I guess, what to call cloud burning, where your signal goes straight up and bounces straight back down. And to do that, you'd need an antenna that, you know, is kind of tailored to that. 40 miles, yeah, that could be a problem. Like I say, not ground wave, maybe sky wave. But if he was getting you ground wave and sky wave too, it could be some cancellation going on, you know, receiving both of those signals slightly out of phase with each other could actually cancel the signal. And Cheryl, I want to do a little housekeeping real quick. I forgot to mention that on the contest for Smoke and Solder, you should send your answers to hamnationcontest@gmail.com. And one other thing I've been meaning to mention for several weeks now and keep forgetting, but I need to tell folks about this. This is something I'm going to be building in the near future, probably a few weeks out yet. You might want to get one if you're interested. This is from Hendrix Kit. You can get it at qrpkits.com. This is a two-tone test oscillator. It produces two tones. It'll be useful for checking equipment, amplifier linearity, a number of different things. And if you want to build that along with me, then go to qrpkits.com and look up the two-tone test generator.
Excellent. Great. It sounds interesting. Very nice. Well, I just wanted to say that we had another person that wanted to make some suggestions here, and I said I'd bring them up. So there were two, NK8J, Brad. He says, a lot of people are wanting to know if you guys could have a CW segment. That was number one. So please put that on the list. And NT9E, Dave, says, can we get segments on chasing DX, operating CW, contesting, and satellite operation? And I really did mention to please email the suggestions, because that's the best way that they will be followed up on. But I'd be happy to bring it up on tonight's show. And I'm just going to wrap up my segment here with this great thank you for all your cards and letters, by the way. And here is the W1HAM. I want to just show this up to the camera real quick here. let's see if I can settle down. But Oh, that is such a neat call sign, isn't it? And look at the back. I mean, that is pretty spectacular too. And the other thing, I wanted to say is thank you, Ray N9JA, for the contact down in Mirambique. I believe that was a Dia expedition, the Portuguese country that's on the Africa continent on the southeast side there. It was fantastic. What a great, we had the split going on and using the dual independent receives with the ICOM 7800. It was just great. So thank you very much for that. And with that, I think that's pretty much it for tonight. So until the next time, thanks for joining us here, and I'm Cheryl S. at K9BAK, and I'll see you right here next time on Ham Nation. Take care, guys.
Thanks, Cheryl. Awesome job. Yeah, that was cool. I made the contact with Ray as well at C82DX over there in Mozambique. That was very, very cool. Nice. I want to mention something, though. We mentioned the Aaron King, the 2012 Newsline Young Ham of the Year. Well, the 2013 Young Ham of the Year is Padraig Lissandreau, KC9UUS, and right now his school club, the K9SOU Kilo 9 Sierra Oscar Uniform, Bloomington High School South Amateur Radio Club Station, is on the air all over HF, operating in the school roundup. And so if you make contact with K9SOU, you're very likely to talk to Padraig or his sister, or even his mom. They're all on there operating at that K9SOU. So start listening around for them. They'll be on, I think, for the rest of the week, and from morning into like 7 or 8 o'clock at night. So K9SOU, Bloomington High School South Amateur Radio Club in Bloomington, Indiana, the 2013 Amateur Radio Newsline Young Ham of the Year, Padraig Lissandreau, KC9UUS, is a member of that club, and just a great bunch of people. I made contact with them the other night. So we've got to wrap this thing up. And, George, bring us up to date on the Echolink nets and the 20 and 40-meter net frequencies, if you would, sir.
Okay, Don, I have not seen the 40-meter net frequency scroll through the chat room here tonight. It might have been there, but I missed it. Normally it's on 7278. So listen somewhere right around there, and you'll find it. I don't think the 20-meter net is back in operation yet. They kind of shut it down due to 20 meters being bad this time of night, this time of year. The Echolink net is at star do drop in star. That's node number 355-800. And we look forward to seeing everyone around here next week. Not sure what we're going to be doing yet, but Bob will be back with us, and I believe Dale will be back too. Oh, and we missed the opportunity a while ago, Cheryl, when she asked the first question about HF mobile amplifiers. Dan would have been the perfect guy to ask, because I believe he's running an ALS, what is it, an ALS 1300, the big one.
Wow.
Do a kilowatt or so mobile. Now, he's had to add an extra alternator or two, I think, to make that happen, but Dan is the man.
Something else, Dan. Something else Dan is the man about is the Ham Nation Wiki. Dan Van Evenhoven does the Ham Nation Wiki at wiki.twit.tv/. Just Google Ham Nation in Google, and you'll find everything you need to know about the Wiki. And he updates that every night. And he does the Amateur Logic Wiki too, I believe. So, Dan, thanks for your help on that. You know what's going on next weekend? In addition to Bob being back and Dale being back, it's going to be really close to Halloween. Are we dressing up?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Are we? Like we
Absolutely.
Did last year? I think so.
Chat room. Dress up.
I think so.
We'll be
watching. Dress up, chat room.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We're going to have a Halloween party. That's what we're going to do. And if cool. you remember last year's, that was a lot of fun. So, all right, guys, let's put a bow on this. And like I said, Bob will be back next week, and so will Dale and the standard cast of fools here on Ham Nation. And we thank you so much for watching us and for joining us in this hobby. And if we've brought you into the hobby, then what we've done is well worth it, believe me. And I know that this show has brought a lot of people into the amateur radio hobby. And we thank you for joining us. And if we've taught you a little something and made you laugh, then so much the better. So good night from Mississippi, and from up around the Great Lakes with Cheryl, and also from the West Coast with Gordon. And we'll see you guys next week here on Twit and Ham Nation. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. WUT 6 Henry.
7278. We'll hear you there.